Welcome to the Quilt Fiction Story Guild podcast, a podcast exclusively for members of the Quilt Fiction Story Guild. I'm Frances O'Rourke Dowell, and we're reading my work in progress friendship album, 1934. Thank you for joining us, and as always, thank you for being part of the Quilt Fiction community. Now, on to the story. Chapter 19. The young woman who opened the door Wednesday morning looked dressed to go out. She was wearing a smart pale yellow suit and a pert little hat, and she held a small handbag in her hand. "I've left a note on the kitchen table," she informed Dorothy as she ushered her into the house. "Two notes, actually. The first one has the list of all the chores I'd like finished by the time I get home. The second has the instructions for Harold."
"Harold?" Dorothy asked, looking around the small foyer. In her experience, you could tell a lot about a person by studying their entryway. Her first insight into Nina Tarkington was that she decorated the way the ladies' magazines instructed her to. This was made evident by the black and white checkered linoleum and the small decorative table hosting a small decorative lamp.
"Yes, Harold, my child," Mrs. Tarkington replied. "He's napping right now, but he usually wakes up around 9:30 or 10. He'll want something to eat and a bottle of milk. It's all there in your instructions."
Mrs. Tarkington had yet to offer to take Dorothy's coat, and Dorothy decided to leave it on. She wasn't convinced that she'd be staying. "I was told this would be a cleaning job," she said. Nothing was said about taking care of a baby.
"Oh, Harold's really not a baby anymore," Mrs. Tarkington replied, as though that cleared the matter up. "He's 18 months, practically a little man."
"Yes, but he's still a child, and I can't take care of a child and clean your house at the same time."
Mrs. Tarkington gave Dorothy a bright smile.
"Just plop Harold in his playpen when you're ready to clean. He loves it in there. Sometimes he cries when I try to take him out."
"Mrs. Tarkington, I am not a nanny, nor do I wish to be one." Dorothy's voice was firm. "I'm afraid you'll have to find someone else." Up until this point, Mrs. Tarkington had presented herself as confident, sophisticated even. Dorothy couldn't help but imagine a young Emmeline Grangerfield pretending her way into the role of a rich man's wife. But even Emmeline, for all of her foolishness, had grown up among working people. She would know better than to hire someone for one job and then ask them to do two, especially when it was impossible to do both jobs at the same time. You could clean a house, or you could tend a toddler. You couldn't do both at once, not even badly. Now the young woman's lower lip began to quiver.
"But someone has to stay with Harold."
"And if you want me to clean your house, that someone should be you." At this, Mrs. Tarkington's entire face fell.
"I can't," she whispered. "Please don't make me."
"Mrs. Tarkington, you have a lovely home," Dorothy said, her voice a touch more gentle. "I suspect you're a woman who can afford to hire a housekeeper and a nanny. So why don't you?"
"I've tried, but everyone I've hired leaves," Mrs. Tarkington confessed. "Nannies, house cleaners, even the seamstress I hired to take in my dresses after I finally lost the baby weight quit. And I don't have any idea why. I'm not a bad person, Mrs. Johnson. I'm really not."
Dorothy knew from experience that you could be a good person and a bad employer. She believed that Mrs. Tarkington was a nice lady. But if she couldn't even hold on to a seamstress, she was doing something wrong with the hired help. Mrs. Tarkington placed a hand on Dorothy's arm.
Could you please stay with Harold, just for this morning? I feel like if I don't get out of the house, I'll go mad.
Escaping for one morning won't solve your problem, Dorothy said. However, I'd be happy to make us both a cup of coffee while you tell me why the people you hire quit their jobs. Perhaps I can offer advice. She knew this was a bold thing to say to someone who didn't know her and would see her simply as a colored housekeeper who pushed a mop around all day and had nothing of value to offer beyond that. And indeed, she saw a flash of confusion in Mrs. Tarkington's eyes, as if she were thinking, "You advise me?" But a moment later, the young woman set down her bag on the hall table and shrugged her way out of her coat.
"I would love a cup of coffee," she said. "And I would love whatever advice you could give me. After all, who would know more about keeping hired help than hired help?"
Dorothy pulled herself up to her full height. "I am much more than that, Mrs. Tarkington. If we're going to work together, you need to understand that and remember it."
Of course,
Mrs. Tarkington replied, her eyes wide. She reached out her arms.
"May I take your coat, Mrs. Johnson?"
Dorothy had learned to clean from her mother, Martina, who had the highest standards of any woman on the planet. Dorothy's own standards were not nearly as rigorous. However, they were miles beyond what Nina Tarkington's appeared to be. As she trailed the young woman to the kitchen, Dorothy realized that the foyer was the only room that was the least bit orderly. It was as though tiny earthquakes had erupted all over the rest of the house, or at least the first floor. But Dorothy imagined that upstairs it was just the same. Entering the kitchen, Mrs. Tarkington turned to Dorothy and said,
"Would you mind if I watched you make the coffee? My husband says I'm not very good at it."
"Why don't I watch you grind the beans?" Dorothy suggested. "That's where good coffee begins."
"I'd rather watch you," Mrs. Tarkington said. And before Dorothy had a chance to insist,
no, she had to learn this important step, a shout sounded from above.
"Mama! Mama! Come!"
"That's Harold. I better go get him."
Mrs. Tarkington sounded relieved, but Dorothy had no intention of letting her new protege off the hook. "The coffee beans can wait. It wouldn't surprise me one bit if Harold enjoyed watching you use the grinder." A few minutes later, Mrs. Tarkington was back with a wiggling toddler in her arms.
"Harold, here's the nice lady I told you about. Her name is Dorothy."
"Good morning, Harold," Dorothy greeted the child. "You may call me Mrs. Johnson." Mrs. Tarkington looked taken aback, but she made no comment.
"I'll put Harold in his high chair, and then you can show me how to grind the beans."
5 minutes later, the two women were sitting down at the kitchen table with their coffee. After taking her first sip, Mrs. Tarkington shook her head.
"Why, I had no idea that coffee could taste this good. And to think I made it."
"It's just a matter of knowing how. Now, remember what I told you. Don't grind the beans until right before you're ready to brew. The beans stay fresh and the coffee has so much more flavor. My friend Eula taught me that, and not so long ago." Dorothy smiled at Mrs. Tarkington. "You see, we all have things to learn."
"I'm afraid I didn't learn much of anything about housekeeping and coffee making growing up. My mother died during the influenza pandemic. I was 8 at the time and sent off to live with my Aunt Agnes. She wasn't much of a homemaker, I'm afraid. She liked to spend all day in her garden. It didn't matter the season, Aunt Agnes was outside clipping things and digging things. She had chickens and guinea fowl to attend to as well. Aunt Agnes never married, so she never had to cook for anyone before I moved in. We mostly ate eggs and toast. Fortunately, I like eggs and toast. I just wish I knew how to make scrambled eggs.
I can show you how to make the best scrambled eggs you've ever eaten, Dorothy told her. No offense to your Aunt Agnes.
Hers were always on the dry side, Mrs. Tarkington admitted, but her toast was heavenly. She made a fresh loaf of bread every morning. That's what I really wish I'd asked her to do. Teach me how to make that bread.
I can teach you how to do that, too. But maybe before we make any more plans, you should tell me why all your help quits and what you're going to do to keep me from doing the same.
I'll do whatever you tell me to, Mrs. Johnson. Honest.
Suddenly, Mrs. Tarkington sounded like the 8-year-old girl she used to be. What a terrible thing to lose a mother at that age, Dorothy thought. The first thing you can do is make a pot of coffee right before I come over on the days that I work. We'll start our mornings right here at this table by making a list of what needs to be done. You'll speak to me respectfully and work alongside me. Harold can work with us.
Harold? Mrs. Tarkington laughed. He's just a baby. What can he do?
Oh, he won't really be working, but he can play at cleaning. There are all sorts of ways to keep toddlers occupied so that they feel like they're helping. It's not good for him to be stuck in a playpen all day.
But that's what my mother-in-law told me to do, Mrs. Tarkington protested. She says she wishes she'd had playpens for her children when they were Harold's age.
A playpen can be useful if you need a few minutes to heed nature's call, Dorothy agreed. But babies need to move around in order to grow up healthy. You should be taking Harold out to a park every day that the weather permits so that he can be out in the fresh air.
I should be writing this down, shouldn't I? Let me go get my writing tablet.
Mrs. Tarkington stood and hurried out of the room. Dorothy expected her to return immediately, but several minutes passed and the woman still hadn't come back. Mrs. Tarkington, is everything all right? A moment later, the young woman appeared at the doorway, a magazine in her hand.
Oh, I'm so sorry, but as I was walking over to the secretary to get some paper, my eye landed on the latest issue of the Ladies' Home Journal, and I remembered an article I'd been meaning to read.
Yes, but you and I were in the middle of a conversation. It was disrespectful of you not to return immediately. Mrs. Tarkington's face colored into what was becoming a familiar red.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Mrs. Johnson. I'm afraid I'm just so easily distracted.
Maybe that's part of your problem. Did you get distracted while the seamstress was measuring you for new clothes? Mrs. Tarkington thought for a moment.
I suppose I did. Well, you know how it is. There's always so much to do, and something is always being delivered, or your mother-in-law, my mother-in-law, is always dropping by. The seamstress did say something about how long it took to take my measurements, that it took 10 times longer than with other customers.
You need to get yourself in the habit of staying put and attending to what's happening in the moment, Dorothy advised her. If I'd been your seamstress, I would have quit too.
Please don't leave me, Mrs. Johnson.
Mrs. Tarkington came over to where Dorothy was sitting and kneeled in supplication.
I beg of you, don't leave me.
No need to beg, Dorothy told her. Now, where do you keep your cleaning things? I'm going to show you how to mop a floor. Dorothy left a little after 2 p.m. She hadn't planned on staying so long, but Mrs. Tarkington was practically helpless. In fact, Dorothy couldn't remember the last time she'd met a woman so unfit for the task of being a homemaker. She knew she should quit. This wasn't going to be the part-time job it was supposed to be, that much was clear, and it would be hard to break away at the end of the summer as she planned. Wallace was always telling her that her heart was too soft, and Dorothy knew he was right. If she stayed with Mrs. Tarkington, she'd begin to care about Mrs. Tarkington, and then she'd end up caring too much about Mrs. Tarkington. Then she'd never be able to leave Mrs. Tarkington. She'd left Bess, Dorothy reminded herself. But that was different. Bess didn't need her anymore, not as a housekeeper anyway. Edwina had taken over that task, at least in part. Nina Tarkington, on the other hand, needed Dorothy the way she needed air to breathe. She should send over a note in the morning. "It's nothing personal," she could write, "but I quit." That is exactly what she should do. But she knew she wouldn't. Maybe if Mrs. Tarkington hadn't lost her mother in the influenza epidemic when she was 8 years old, Dorothy could have put in her notice without a second thought. Maybe if Dorothy hadn't lost a child to the same illness. Dorothy stopped and put her hand against the rough bark of an oak tree that guarded the street. She needed to steady herself before she continued. 15-year-old Marcus, her sweetest boy. It had taken years before she could think of him without tears, and many more years before she didn't think about him a dozen times a day. She could still remember the afternoon he came home, his eyes glazed, his cheeks hot to the touch. Hannah had been at Wallace's mother's house, and Dorothy quickly sent word for her to stay there. The older boys weren't living at home anymore. Bud had moved to Akron for work, Henry to Cincinnati. For 3 days, Dorothy nursed Marcus, but in the end, there was nothing she could do to bring him back. He died on the morning of the fourth day, suffocated by the water that filled his lungs. Had Nina Tarkington watched her mother die? Oh, Dorothy hoped not. She couldn't think of anything more awful for a child to witness, for anyone to witness. Sometimes, thinking back on that morning, Dorothy wasn't sure how she survived it. She supposed she survived it because she had to. She took a deep breath and began walking again. Of course, she wasn't going to quit this job, but she would make some rules for herself. She would only work 2 days a week, as agreed. She would not babysit Harold, even though he was a very nice child, if a bit rambunctious. She would teach Mrs. Tarkington everything she needed to know about how to keep a house and take care of a child, and then she would help the young woman find a new housekeeper. Alice's first day at this new academy would be Dorothy's last day on the job. She wouldn't break any of those rules, she promised herself. In fact, she'd write them down as soon as she got home and give them to Eula. Eula would hold her to them. Eula would look after her. Because Lord knows, Dorothy Johnson did not always do a good job of looking after herself. Thanks for joining us on the Quilt Fiction Story Guild podcast. We're reading Friendship Album 1934, a novel by Frances O'Rourke Dow, a production of Milton Falls Media, Incorporated. Copyright 2022, all rights reserved. Until next time, this is Frances O'Rourke Dow. Thank you for joining us.